The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, Sunday night we had Good Night Boston with the Red Sox and the Patriots winning. So Monday night, good night for Wisconsin. Green Bay Packers merged victorious over the San Francisco 49ers. They had to sweat this one out, 33-30. 49ers stayed with them punch for punch throughout the whole game. That was totally surprising by me. I didn't see that coming. But the expectation of Aaron Rodgers leading the Packers down the field for a game-winning drive, getting a tying touchdown late, getting a field goal late. I mean, listen, every time he does this, and it seems like he does this constantly, I'm more and more impressed. I'm more and more amazed. But the reality of it is when you step back, you're like, wow, this is a script that I've seen time and time again from him. They score with under 2 minutes remaining to tie the game at 30. They got the ball back. He went down the field in 10 plays. Mason Crosby had a terrible game last week, kicks a field goal, and wins the game for the Packers, and they go to 3-2-1. While the 49ers, listen, God bless them. No moral victories in the NFL. You hear me talk about it all the time. I'm not going to give it to them. But they stayed punch for punch right there with the Green Bay Packers. 400 yards of offense on the day, about equal time of possession. I mean, everything you want. C.J. Beathard played as good as C.J. Beathard was probably expected to play. The Packers' defense is not very good. But here was the interesting thing last night. So if I said to you, if you didn't know anything that went on last night, and I said good night for Wisconsin, good night for Milwaukee, good night for, that area, and I said, but one of the games was going to be rather leisurely. It would rather kind of one-sided. And the other game was going to be tight until the end. I'm certainly hoping that you would think it would have been reversed. That the NLCS would have been tight between the Dodgers at home against Milwaukee. And that the Packers, who should have rolled over the 49ers, would have done so. But in fact, it was the exact opposite. The Milwaukee Brewers, who had to sweat it out in the ninth inning with bases loaded, they went on to a 4-0 win over the Dodgers. They struck out Los Angeles 14 times. LA just passed ball after pass ball. Milwaukee got their key hits, and it was the Packers who had to struggle against a 49ers team that's trying to find its stride after losing Jimmy Garoppolo. We'll get more into what happened last night in both baseball and in the NFL. We got top five, bottom five coming up later in the show. Thanks for joining us at SB Nation AM as we roll along on a Tuesday morning.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
People in Wisconsin, enjoy it. It was a good night last night for you. Milwaukee wins the Game 3 of the NLCS, take a 2-1 series lead. Green Bay, Monday Night Football, yeah, they had to sweat it out. Probably more than you wanted to. in a 33-30 victory over San Francisco, but they get that. The NBA season is starting. Giannis Antetokounmpo in the Bucks. That's all right. Feel good, Wisconsin. Last night, I was toggling between both of the games. And listen, I have not watched very much of the NLCS this weekend. I didn't get a chance to see game one on Friday night covering a football game. And then game two on Saturday, I kind of saw a little bit of it at a restaurant that I was at early. I went out to an early dinner, so I saw a little bit of that. So last night I was trying to get into it, and I'm fascinated by Milwaukee. And Ron, you're a Dodger fan. I am fascinated by Milwaukee because on the surface, it's like they're this spunky team with a young, you know, with a payroll that's not even close to the Red Sox or the Yankees or anybody else. And they have all these different relievers, and they're very strategically oriented. But like they can hit, like they can play, like there's sort of they're scrappy enough. And it was interesting last night watching them. I was surprised the Dodgers didn't get anything going at their stadium last night against Yolish Shishin, who I used to cover in Colorado. And I never thought I would see Shishin in a playoff like that pitched as well as he did. He's a good pitcher. Don't get me wrong. I liked him when he was in Colorado, but I didn't think he was that good. I mean, they were just mowing down the Dodgers, him and all of his relievers.
No, after last night, the Dodgers could call him Chasen.
Oh, God, absolutely.
They changed his name to Chasen because that's all they were doing. They were just chasing all night long.
Oh, it was crazy.
Yeah, those Brewers are a scrappy bunch of SOBs, I'll tell you.
They're kind of fun. I mean, I don't want to give them that kind of label because they're good players. They're not like underdogs. This isn't a bad news Bears baseball team.
We can't say they're underdogs.
Yeah, so they're not exactly. They're not, and that's the problem, right? The perception is this, you know, they're not the bad news Bears, okay? This is a good baseball team that had been acquired. Ryan Braun is an all-star. Christian Yelich is an MVP, right? They've got a bullpen that they have built up that has been dominant this season. This is exactly how they got here. This is exactly what Craig Counsell wants to use. But this is the thing about this series. If you like strategic baseball on steroids, this is the series for you. If you like two managers that are figuring out their lineup and using, you know, the righty bats in this situation and lefty bats in this situation, and I'm going to use my reliever here and I'm going to use one pitcher on this guy and then I'll bring in another guy on this. If you like that kind of baseball, this is your series because this is an overanalyzed series, almost in a positive way though, because that's the strength of either team. The Dodgers, again, I was surprised that the LA crowd, because I know L.A., and you're from that area, sometimes gets knocked as not being a great sports city at times, but not with the Dodgers. I mean, not with the Dodgers. I've seen that stadium explode. And for Enrique Hernandez to say that they didn't have energy, well, that's not on the crowd when you're striking out and chasing every pitch that's in the dirt or outside the plate. That's not on the crowd to get you into the game. You want to provide some atmosphere, then be patient and watch your pitches. And I'm sorry, Yasmani Grandal, don't let everything go past you. I mean, golly.
Anyone having a worse series?
Oh, nobody is having a worse series behind the plate than Grandal. Nobody is. He was terrible last night. And when they were starting to chant, "We want Austin," don't blame them one bit. And he's getting on them for that, too. I'm sorry. I know he's your teammate, but this is what fans paying good money to watch you guys strike out 14 times chasing bad pitches is not exactly going to bring a lot of energy into the house. And I'm sorry, I thought there was energy when they had the bases loaded in the ninth inning. I thought they were getting back into the game. You gave them a reason to kind of stand up and cheer, and then sorry, you struck out and that was it. Game over. So game four, try to even up that series, or Milwaukee's going to the Fall Classic. And good for Milwaukee.
It's just terrible.
I know. I want this series to go long. I just, you know, maybe it's just, that's the great thing about baseball, right? Momentum is only good as your next day's starter. The problem is, I don't know who the Brewers starter is going to be because they don't announce it until 10 minutes before this game starts.
And a lot of times it's not even a starter.
It's not even a starter, right?
They're going with openers.
These guys are, yes. They did this in game one of their series with the Rockies.
They just went with an opener.
And I went, that can't possibly work. What the heck is an opener? And here they are. Game four. Let's see who they have listed. I didn't even check last night. Is it Gio Gonzalez? Yeah, Gio Gonzalez is going to get the start. But the relievers are expected to go into the game by the third inning.
Yep.
This is great. Like, and it's funny because in like Chris Sale, remember we talked about this with the Red Sox. You know, Chris Sale has pitched, what, 17 innings since coming off the DL in the summer for Boston? And yet they wanted to see how far he could go in game one against the Yankees, game one against the Astros, right? They wanted to see how much they could get out of him because the Red Sox bullpen is terrible. If he was playing for the Brewers, they'd be like, ah, can you give us an inning? That's pretty much all we need. If you could just give us an inning, maybe two. If two would be a bonus, that would be fine with us. In Boston, it's like, oh, God, I hope he can give us five. If he can give us five, maybe six. That's our best chance. And Milwaukee's like, nah, we got 12 guys. We'll just come in and mow you down. And if you like a guy who throws a knuckleballer, that's fine. We'll throw him out there. A two-seam fastball, we got one of those guys, too. I think I'll bring him in because he's got a wicked, you know, 3-9 curve, whatever it is. The Milwaukee Brewers have it, and they'll bring it out. So as other teams are praying they can get a certain amount out of their starters, Milwaukee doesn't seem to be bothered by this at all. And it goes against the sort of conventional wisdom that I've been saying, which is the more arms you throw out, the less likely you're going to roll seven every single time he does that. But it's working for Milwaukee. Every guy knows, hey, listen, I'm here for this reason. I'm going to pitch to this guy, not a pitch to this guy. I mean, I was reading today, this morning, that they have guys that are in the bullpen who at times pitch so bad they were sent down to the minors, and then they come back, and now they're mowing down Manny Machado, for crying out loud. I mean, it's unbelievable. And that's what Milwaukee is based on. Their identity hasn't changed one bit in this postseason. They're doing exactly what we pegged them to do, and now they're two wins away from going to the World Series. And the Green Bay Packers last night, what can you say about Aaron Rodgers? He's a wizard, right? He's a wizard. How happy is Danica Patrick? Her man did it again. Come back, victory late in the fourth quarter. Hanging around with the Green Bay Packers. Wait till the end, see what happens.
Just relax.
Just relax. That's all you need. I saw a woman last night in the stands that had a relax winter hat. It looks like it was homemade, but I wouldn't have been surprised if she bought it off the street from some vendor. It's really nice.
That game was just weird.
That game was weird.
I'm so glad I took the minus 10 for the Packers.
I would have too.
That was close.
I would have too. There was no chance San Francisco had to go into Lambeau Field and pull that off, right?
None. CJ who?
Exactly. And I got to be honest with you. Now, this is no offense to CJ Beathard. I know he threw a late pick that kind of set it up. But that's probably the best game you're going to get out of him on the road on a Monday Night Football against the Packers, right?
He overachieved.
Like, that's like your expectation of CJ Beathard is, you know, isn't a 250 and two touchdowns and a late pick. It's probably a couple picks, you know, maybe 225 and a touchdown, maybe. But
it's also not driving your team down the field with ease.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I know the Packers defense has issues, but they're not that bad.
Well, that's kind of my observation last night, because I know they talked about it at the end of the game, and which is, look, the Packers defense is bad. It's got to get better. And that's for sure. But if you ask the question of an NFL fan, let's say the Packers, right? The Packers are a perfect example. After a win like that, where you give up yardage and you're giving up points and you're making it a little bit harder on yourself, and you say, okay, you pulled it off at the end, but how concerned are you about your defense? If I'm a Packers fan, I'm concerned about the defense, but in the end, it is about just getting victories any which way. If Green Bay polishes this up, no one's going to look back at a week six game and go, well, you know, they did get gashed by the 49ers. Every week you're developing, every week you're adjusting, every week you're changing personnel. You may take a guy out, you may bring a guy in. I mean, whatever it is you're doing, I wouldn't be overly concerned unless this is a continued trend down the stretch. But yes, you can't have Aaron Rodgers constantly pulling out home games like this against teams like San Francisco. But at the same time, it feels good to have a quarterback that is being able to do stuff like this. And you kind of can play it out. Look, there's nobody in the crowd last night that thought, well, we've got the ball now and we've got, you know, 80 yards or whatever they had to go on their final drive. oh, well, we'll see how it goes. Like, everyone knew, like, we're going to be able to get down the field. Aaron Rodgers is a master at this. He's a master at this. He waits. If you give him pocket protection, he waits better than any quarterback in the league. His patience to get to have runners complete their routes and then go beyond to get open is a lot of quarterbacks don't have that. He's brilliant at that. But for the 49ers to turn the ball over three times and stay in this game on the road, God bless him for showing some heart. Because I had them pegged as a double-digit loser in this one. And they hung around. They had a seven-point lead late in the fourth quarter. Take your chances. Make a play on defense. You can't? Okay. Devontae Adams scores to tie it. Mason Crosby hits a field goal to win it. You leave a loser, but you know what? You hung in there and gave at least an entertaining game that people didn't think was entertaining. All right, 800-777-2907. More from last night. We'll have top five, bottom five later on in the show. We have got some information to get to from the baseball as the Astros and the Red Sox get together tonight for game three of their series. It's all coming up. It's SB Nation AM. Tony D and Ron Culver.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, one out of four batteries will fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during the Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly's has the Superstart Battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You know, we live in such a unique media world now. And I'm not one of those get-off-my-lawn guys that says it was better in my day. When it comes to headlines, when it comes to attracting you to news, this is the way it's always been, right? You think about in the old days, old days, that little kid on the corner, extra, extra, Titanic sinks, right? The newspapers were sold based on the headline. What was the attractive piece of news? Right. You'd see the big, and that's the newspaper you would buy. You know, cities like New York had 12 papers. Right. I mean, it's just, and that's how you competed. And it still goes on today. We have changed the model now, and now it's more clickbait. Now it's more getting attention, drawing attention to yourself. And that's just the nature of the business. And as consumers, you, me, everybody else, we have to sort of be careful. You know, we have to be careful of what we jump to immediately. And that's why this next bit, and this has to do with the Green Bay Packers game last night, this is why this next piece of information that I want to discuss bothered me so much. Growing up as a kid, one of my favorite football players was Terry Bradshaw, and I still like Terry Bradshaw. He's kind of a goof now, but he's a very, very, he's a smart football analyst. But he was on a show on Fox, and he was talking on the show, and he said a while back, a year or so ago, or maybe it was a little over a year ago, that if he had a chance between Mike McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers, he would have taken Mike McCarthy. Okay. So again, this happened a couple of years ago, but it's been brought up because everyone's kind of bringing it back to life again. And I wonder, and this is just me, and I wonder how much of that was Bradshaw at the time. Because, I mean, listen, at the time, Rodgers was going through that whole situation with McCarthy, and they were fighting, and they weren't getting along. But I wonder how much of these guys are doing this now because this is how you separate yourself from everybody. Now, I try to be, on this show, I try to be honest with every opinion I give because, A, I don't want to be caught later in a lie. Like, I don't want to tell you I believe something, and then later on you find out that I changed it, and the only reason I said it at first was to just make noise. I want to be consistent. But I wonder if that actually is what everybody is doing, or if more people just saying, I'll say this to be crazy, even if I'm proven crazy down the road. Look, again, this was over a year ago. I think it was late in 2016 that he said it. Now people are sort of bringing it up because Aaron Rodgers is being Aaron Rodgers again and whatnot. Now, maybe at the time he really believed this, but in analyzing this, I wonder at the time if he was doing this to separate himself from the crowd of people and saying, listen, I can get a lot more attention if I go in this direction when everybody's going here, even if I don't believe it. I'll go left. Everybody's going right. Even though I believe going right is the right direction, I'll just go left because that is going to separate me from the crowd. You see this all the time in all of the athlete analysts that get hired by these networks constantly. If you are an athlete and you are in your post-playing career and you are on television, you better bring something that's different than other people. But sometimes bringing something different means you make kind of outlandish comments that make you look like you don't really know what you're talking about. Right? Look. Bradshaw's a smart guy, even in late in 2016 when this is having a conversation. But he's a quarterback. He's a quarterback that called his own plays. He's a quarterback that won 4 Super Bowls. He's a quarterback that knows a quarterback is the most important position in sports. It is not just the most important position in football. It's the best position in all of sports. You have to have this. If you don't have this, you can have a great head coach and not win. You can have a poor head coach and win if you have a quarterback. You would never pick a coach over a quarterback in the NFL if you are building a franchise. You can find good coaches. You can find good young coaches as coordinators. But if you don't have a decision maker, if you don't have a guy that can throw the football, if you don't have a guy that has a wide variety of throws that he can make, a smarts, an ability to move, an ability to read defenses, an ability to do all of the things that you want a quarterback to do, you can have the best coach in the world, but he's not going to win. The Belichick-Brady debate is real. It's real because we can't figure out the Patriots with one without the other. Would Brady win if he was playing on a bad football team? Would Belichick win a Super Bowl with anybody else other than Brady? We don't know. So we have this debate. Is it the coach? Is it the quarterback? Because it's not clear in that situation. But the reality of it is you better have a QB. You better have a quarterback. And if you have an elite one, you are very lucky. Very lucky. It was like I was talking about this yesterday. If you can root for the Dallas Cowboys, right? But if you're 21 years old, if you're a 21-year-old kid, you've never seen them win a Super Bowl. I was saying this yesterday. If you're 40 years old, you've seen the Steelers win twice. These things, if you're a Giants fan that's 40, you're 20 years old, you've only seen them win twice. Super Bowls are hard to come by. The Browns are still looking for one. So if you have an elite quarterback, you keep it. And it's just disappointing to me because I don't know at the time if he believed it. And again, it's a resurrected story because Aaron Rodgers is doing what Aaron Rodgers does. But it would sadden me if the only reason he would believe this was if it was just to get likes and just to get clicks and just to get attention to being an analyst. I don't think Bradshaw needs this, right? I don't think he needed it then, and I don't think he needs it now. But why would you take a coach over Aaron Rodgers in 2016, even when they were fighting and it looked like there could have been a divorce, whether it's today or not today? It's a crazy world, and I'm just cautioning people to be careful of the overreaction to these kind of things. Sit back and sometimes think, maybe this is that I'm being played here for my attention. But I like Bradshaw. Bradshaw was my favorite player as a kid because as a Steelers fan, you know, growing up at the time, they were just winning Super Bowls. I thought they'd win a lot more when I jumped on. I didn't know I was catching them late in my fandom. But Bradshaw was my favorite player. He's still my favorite personality. He's crossed over. He's entertaining when he acts. He's entertaining on the analyst shows. I think he's an entertaining guy. But sometimes I wonder, do we live in a world where we get caught up so much in pay attention to me, and if I don't say something that's completely off the wall and ridiculous, you won't pay attention to me. And that's just where I'm going with this story that's now resurrected itself. It also is a fair warning to everybody in media. Be careful what you say because it can be brought up 2 years later and you'll be answering for it. Wasn't that a dumb take back then? Yeah, well, we're all Monday morning quarterbacks. Listen, I got in trouble in Colorado because I'm an SEC guy. Really, I'm a big SEC guy. I have been since college. And I'm in Colorado, and the Denver Broncos come out of the AFC title game, and they draft Jay Cutler out of Vanderbilt, and nobody in Colorado had seen Jay Cutler do anything at Vanderbilt, but I did. And I remember saying, oh, this guy's going to be great. He's got a rocket arm. The Broncos are, if they're looking for a quarterback that can do different things than Jake Plummer, this is the guy. If this is the missing piece, the Broncos will win a Super Bowl with him. Oh, boy. Oh, my God. Years after. I got abused for years because of that. when Cutler would cost them games and they'd be mediocre. They wouldn't make the playoffs because I went down the road of, I saw this kid. I knew this kid was good. He had an amazing arm. I thought he was going to be able to win in the NFL, despite the fact that he didn't win at Vanderbilt. I mean, he had losing records. He won games that they normally would have lost, but he never had a winning record, never led them to a bowl game. So, but now just Bradshaw being Bradshaw, I guess. No, he's one of my favorite guys.
But it is interesting. I mean, you're talking about Jay Cutler, and it just reminded me that teams that have had great quarterbacks, we're always looking them to have the next great quarterback.
Yeah, that's
as
right.
As opposed to teams that, you know, haven't had like a decent quarterback for a long period of time. Like for the Browns, we're not expecting them to have a great quarterback to follow up, you know, maybe the career of Bernie Kosar.
Right.
We're just looking at them like, can you just put something decent on the field? They might finally have it. But for, like, say, the 49ers, the Broncos, who had iconic quarterbacks, we're constantly looking at them like, when's the next one coming?
Yeah, that's going to happen with the Steelers when Ben Roethlisberger finally says, I've had enough, right?
Right. Well, I mean, that was the thing. They had Bradshaw, and then it looked like that, you know, they were constantly chasing, you know, it was like throwing out a Neil Lomax or, you know, whoever. And then finally, you know, they got Roethlisberger. It's like, okay, you finally got your quarterback.
Yeah, you finally, now when he leaves, no matter how good Mike Tomlin is, and I don't think he is, without a quarterback to step in, they're going to be a mediocre football team. SB Nation Radio.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you'd be with us on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Tony D, Ron Culver, 800-777-2907. Halloween is coming. I am all decorated in my house now. It's about time. I love Halloween. I love it. It's fantastic. But you know what? It goes by so quick. I'm still debating whether or not I go full candy bar this year. I'm kind of in a new neighborhood after moving back to Nashville. I think I might go. I might test the waters out this year before I do it. I don't think the kids in my neighborhood, who I don't really know, deserve the full size candy bar.
You don't think they're ready for it?
No, because if they come, like, I want to be known. Right now they're going, oh, new couple moved into our neighborhood, new family. Let's see what they have. And I don't want to jump out and go full size candy bars. And then I want to be like, no, I'll give out good treats.
You don't want to build up their expectations.
Yeah. But then what if their expectation is,
yeah, you know what? Just go a notch above popcorn ball.
Right. Maybe so. Popcorn ball. Who does popcorn balls? Do we have to make those? Can I buy a bunch of those? I don't want to make popcorn balls. That takes forever.
Yeah. It blows my mind. Like the candy that we used to get as kids.
Oh,
you get popcorn ball. Like
popcorn
just,
balls are amazing.
Somebody just usually, I mean, literally just use their hands and just like, here,
yeah,
take this. Here's an apple.
A like, gooey, sticky. My wife last night had caramel apples that she got at the store, and we all had one last night. And I love them and, you know, hadn't had one forever. So I'm eating this caramel apple. And I said to my wife, I said, do you like candied apples? She goes, no. I go, wait a minute. How can you not like candied apples?
How do you not know that?
I was like, I know.
Even I knew
20
that,
years.
Tony.
Yeah, God. She goes, no. I go, you mean that? I said, then I had to re-explain it as if she misheard me. Like, instead of saying candied apples, I said wormy, rotten apples. Because there's no way you could dislike an apple dipped in a hard candy shell, right? A sugar glaze that hardens up. When you bite into it, it's got that sweetness, the shard of glass that cuts the roof of your mouth. And then you bite into the goodness of the apple. How could you not like that?
And you lose all your teeth in the process.
Yeah, I know. That's great.
That's the hardest part about a candy apple, is just getting it started.
Oh, right. Getting it started, yeah.
Like you're sitting there, gnawing at it.
Big old thing.
And then finally, when you do get to it, and you have that perfect harmony of candy and apple.
Oh, it's the best.
God.
The best. I don't know. When you were a kid, did you ever bob for apples?
No.
No? You never bobbed for apples?
No. I feel like I should have done that at some point in time.
This is one of those retro things where I look back and I'm like, okay, I used to go to Halloween parties where we used to bob for apples. It was, you put a tub and filled it with apples. Then you would dunk your head in the water and try to bite into an apple and come up with one. And then you start thinking about, wait a minute, hold on. You want me to put my head in a bunch of water and start biting at apples. And if I don't get one, another person will come and dunk their head in the same tub and try to bite the same apples. Yeah, it was rather gross.
Yeah.
It wasn't the most exciting thing.
Yeah, you definitely want to be, down the line. Right. If you're the first one, that, that's not that bad. It's okay. But if you're like second or third, I mean,
you don't want to do that.
That can get kind of gross quickly.
Did you ever do the donuts on a string?
I've done the donuts on the string.
Yeah, those are fun. Right? Yep. Eat the donut on the string. That's kind of fun.
I've also done the, put your hand in the mystery bowl blindfolded.
Oh, yes.
Here are the eyeballs. Here are
they're
brains.
Peeled grapes.
Yes.
Exactly. Here are the brains. That's great.
We just don't do that anymore. Now it's.
No.
Kids today, they will never understand. They don't get
They'll never understand, the joy of putting your hand in some slimy Jell-O.
After 20 other people have done it.
Exactly. A Jell-O concoction and call it brains. Or reach in to grab peeled. Who peels? You have to peel those grapes. Those are the eyeballs.
That was annoying.
Annoying. Absolutely annoying. But nevertheless, the Halloween fun. I'm waiting for. I like Halloween cartoon specials that come on, like Christmas cartoon specials. I watch them for nostalgia, and I'm waiting for The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, to come on. But I realize every time it comes on, I watch this, I always go, okay, what adult is giving, who is giving Charlie Brown rocks for Halloween? Like, what adult is doing this? Like, it's one thing if the kids want to pick on Charlie Brown, but what adult is going, candy, 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 oh, that rotten Charlie Brown, here's a stone.
Not only
that. Poor Charlie Brown, he opens up the bag, he goes, all I got is rocks. Who is Charles Schulz must have been just picked on as a child or something, and he was using this cartoon strip as a means of some sort of therapy. What child goes through Halloween getting rocks? That's awful.
My other big question or my big complaint with that, if we're going to read into Charlie Brown way too much, is what parent is going to allow their kid to just hang out in a pumpkin field
pumpkin
all
patch
night
all
long?
Night? He sleeps out there and no parent comes to get him.
No parent. I don't even check on him.
They're not even looking for him.
You never really see the parents anyways.
That's right.
It's almost a godless town.
Yes. And when you do, it's always wah, 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 wah. That's all you get.
Well, Charles Schulz hit that right on the head. I think that's how kids listen to us.
I know, right? Hey, son, blah, 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 blah. That's all they hear. They don't hear any sort of context.
Until you mention money.
That's right.
I'll do that. To test my kids sometimes. I can tell they're completely ignoring me. It's like, yeah, and then I was going to give you $50. Wait, what, Dad?
Yeah, I know.
50?
No, I know. Yeah. They're all into that. They read that pretty good. So, yeah, I watch that every year, but I wonder if I'm spoiling it. Because every time it comes on, I always go, that's dumb. No. The World War I flying ace is pretty cool, though. When Snoopy does that, I always like that. That's pretty cool.
Well,
I
mean, he was the dog.
He was the dog.
He's the dog.
Do they have any more that come on? They got
Thanksgiving and Christmas. Those are the three. I mean, they have them spread out throughout the year. I think there's like an Easter one. There's like a summertime one. But it doesn't matter. You just want Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Thanksgiving one is where they have like jelly beans, popcorn, and toast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
again, what parent was saying, hey, go ahead and just, cook up some. But you're having your dog cook it all, too.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
The kids just show up. Like, they have no place to go. They're just going, like,
until
where
the very
do I go?
End.
Yeah, Peppermint Patty's like, I need a place to go. How about your own house? How about your own house with your own family?
It's not good
like,
enough.
Where am I going to go?
I want to hang out with my friends, Tony.
And then he goes, Grandma says you can all come over. No one ever says, yeah, I need your phone. I got to make a call. I got to tell my family where I'm going for Thanksgiving. When they gather around the table, I'm going to be at your grandmother's, Chuck. No one ever does that in the Charlie Brown world. And then Christmas time, he buys that tree and they yell at him and they beat him up emotionally.
You're a blockhead, Charlie Brown.
You're an idiot. Go out and buy it. Trees are expensive. You can't just send a kid to a tree yard and have him pick out a tree. They're not cheap.
Especially what they were demanding, too.
Yeah.
They wanted one of those fake plastic ones. Yeah,
exactly.
They wanted those shiny glitter and gold.
We went Christmas tree shopping one time, and my wife found the perfect tree. Perfect tree. For the size of our house, for the size of our living room, with everything. She said, oh, my God, this is perfect. She already envisioned. She had it completely decorated in her mind, right? And then I made the stupid point of let's wrap this up. And I asked the guy, can you keep it for us? And he said, yes. I said, let's go get dinner. Let's go get pizza. We go get pizza. We walk back to pick up our tree. She He gives us a tree. We take it home. She immediately knows it's the wrong tree. Immediately. And just went nuts. And then started blaming me like I was Charlie Brown for ruining Christmas. Because she had the perfect, it was perfect. And then this tree was tall and slender, and it wasn't perfect. And she goes, we got the wrong tree. I said, no, we didn't. That's the tree you picked out. She goes, no, it is not. And I said, yes. And before I even said, yes, it is, she yelled, no, it is not. She said, I know exactly what that tree looked like. And I was like, all right. She's like, fine. We'll decorate this stupid Charlie Brown tree you got us.
Let me ask you something. After you decorated, how did it look?
It looked fine
there
to me,
go.
But it wasn't
See?
Perfect.
And that's all that's all Charlie's Brown tree needed. Charlie's Brown tree just needed a little love.
Little love. Ah, the holiday season.
Yep. Now, for Halloween, one show I can't get enough of right now, I don't know if you get into it, is these like Halloween baking wars.
I love them, man. I love this stuff. I'm taping them. I'm trying to watch them. I love it.
Like, I wish I could be that skilled.
Oh, I can't. I can't even come close. I can't even come close.
I mean, I could
making spider cookies, and they're doing all sorts of stuff with cakes, and
I could barely cut perfect triangles in a pumpkin, and these guys are sculpting faces. And
they're taking that. They're taking that those sculpting tools, and they grab the biggest pumpkin, and they're like face. Like a creepy clown. And they're doing it in minutes.
Yeah, or motorcycle.
What? Yeah.
How did you do that out of a pumpkin?
It's great. It's great. These guys have to come up with like, hey, the theme is aliens come to Earth, create something scary. And they take some gourd vegetables and a pumpkin, and they just create this incredible scene. And they do it in like 2 hours. Which would have, if you gave me directions on how to do it, it would take me a week and a half. If that.
Easily.
It would come out terrible.
Yeah, it wouldn't even come close.
It wouldn't even come close. He's excellent.
But I'm always impressed by the people, you know, who work with the sugar.
Oh, yeah, because that's very delicate.
But, I mean, that's essentially what we were talking about earlier about the candy apples. I mean, it's the same thing, same process. You just make this sugar, make it look like glass, and I don't get how they do that.
I've watched these shows 100 times, and I still have no idea how they pull this off. You'd think after a while it would just come to me like, oh, I've seen this on the show before. You just roll the fondant and then you just, no, I have no idea. I have no idea. I just watch it for the pure amazement at the talent. Much like I do sports half the time. When I watch sports, I go, look, that's an incredible, like I could never do that. And I'm impressed. The same thing with these baking shows for Halloween. So we're like, what, 2 weeks away from Halloween?
I think so.
A little long. Yeah, 2 weeks. It'll be 2 weeks Wednesday. So 2 weeks tomorrow. We'll have Halloween. Then it's like this weird countdown to Christmas where Thanksgiving is lost in the middle of the process.
I drove by our grocery store the other day.
Right.
And they already have like snowmen out front.
Nah, hold off. Yeah, they got to back off.
Is that a little too soon? I mean, can we just celebrate one? I get that, you know, Thanksgiving, there's no reason. There's really no holiday except for eating. And so I'm fine with you. Hey, you want to put a snowman out for Thanksgiving? Fine. Go ahead and get that started. But it's Halloween. I still need to see pumpkins out front. I still need
you
to see
let
witches
fall.
And ghosts.
You got to let autumn have its moment. Give autumn a chance to breathe, right? Like, I'll give you a perfect example. My son and I, yesterday, he came home from school, and I was like, hey, man, I got to run some errands. You want to come with me? He goes, sure. So we go out to the car, and it's 50 degrees outside. It's like 56 degrees outside. It is wet. It's cloudy. It's rainy. The wind is blowing. The leaves are changing. I mean, it went from summer to autumn. And I said to him flat out, I said, hey, look, it's cold. It's wet. It's yucky. But this is what we wanted. A week and a half ago, when it was 97 degrees outside, we were begging for this crappy weather. And now that it's here, and now we realize we're not getting 90 degrees back for a while. So enjoy it. This is what you asked for. This is what we wanted. Cold weather, break out the blankets, break out the hot chocolate. Yeah, it's here. But now the 90s, that ain't coming back. That hot summer day we were running around in shorts, done. Done. So be thankful for it if this is what you want, because we got it. And he was like, yeah, I know. I kind of missed the warm weather. No, I don't want to hear it. We complained
bitterly. You can't miss it yet.
No.
You're not allowed to miss it.
Done. We were complaining when the car was so hot, we had to run the air conditioner before we got into it a week ago. Now it's 50 degrees and we're wearing jackets. No, this is what we wish for.
You got to get the jacket, get the sweatshirts out, wash them all.
Exactly.
Because they've been collecting dust in your closet for the last 6 months.
This is what we've done. We wanted this weather. We got this weather. So there.
Not same here. It went from, it literally was 90 degrees one day. Boom. Low 50s yep. yesterday.
My friend posted on Facebook, and I think she stole it, but I'm going to give her credit for it anyway. She said the weather went from 90 to 55 like it saw a state trooper. I was like, that was pretty funny.
That's pretty good. I like that one.
I hope she made it up, because if she stole it, she didn't give proper credit. I'll give her credit because that was funny. I thought that was good.
You're not stealing it.
I'm not stealing it. I'm giving her credit.
You're giving her credit for it.
So Kelly out there, very well done on your post. 800-777-2907. It's SB Nation Radio. Tony D and Ron Culver.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
The Patriots have suspended, or I shouldn't say suspended, they banned that fan who threw a beer at Tyreek Hill.
Get on him.
They banned him for life from future games at Gillette Stadium, or future events at Gillette Stadium. I don't think he can go to a concert or anything at Gillette Stadium.
I hope it was worth it.
I hope so. How do they do that, by the way? Is it face technology? How do you prevent somebody who's banned at Gillette Stadium from going in? Do you put his picture up everywhere and say, anybody at the entrance, make sure this guy doesn't get in? Does he get in with a fake mustache?
Kind of like how you go to a grocery store and it says, if you see this person, call.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, it's so easy to do now, because you just post his picture on internet and, you know, just say, like, in at the stadium, like, that's the guy. I thought that guy was banned. But I don't think amongst the fan base, people would be angry at you. Like, oh, you threw a beer at Tyreek Hill. Good for you. Here's a beer on me. Good for you. But these stadiums, you got to be careful, guys. When you go to these stadiums, man, you're going to get caught. If you do something like that and it gets tension, they're going to find you. They're going to know who you are. And be careful when you give your season tickets away. You can have your season tickets revoked in some cases if you give your ticket to somebody who does something like that too. I mean, you could go down with the ship. You got to be careful. It's tough. These guys, they're not messing around. I've seen this story, or this type of story, time and time again. Fan does X, team reacts and says he's banned. He can't come to the game anymore. He can't go to the games anymore. Throw a snowball, you're done. Throw something, you're done. Say something, you're done. Get in a fight, you're done. I mean, they'll make sure you never go again. And that sucks, because when you're a fan and you've been going to games, especially those seats, those are good seats. If those are his season tickets, he ain't going to another game again, because he couldn't resist throwing beer at a football player after he scored a touchdown. Control yourself at games, because these teams aren't messing around anymore. All right, we'll have top five, bottom five coming up as well. 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. SB Nation AM on a Tuesday on SB Nation Radio.